Neve Solicitors are proud to sponsor The Parent Show. The friendly team at Neve's includes specialists who can guide you through all the legal ups and downs of family life. Visit nevesolicitors.co.uk. Neve Solicitors, your complete legal solution.
A very, very warm welcome to The Parents Show this evening on 92.6 FM. I'm Lydia El Khoury.
And I'm Cathy Weston.
So Christmas is almost upon us.
I know, it's really, really odd, isn't it? Because the weather isn't kind of matching the seasonal feeling.
I know. 2 weeks. Three
weeks. Well, that's why we decided to do this show on which books are we going to buy, you know, for our nieces and nephews and
cousins and kids and neighbours and everybody. And we've got the best authorities on books tonight, haven't we, Cathy?
Yeah, we've got some extremely articulate children here in the studio who've been dancing and singing and who are very obedient when we said that the red light was going to come on and they had to be quiet.
And the dancing stopped.
Yeah. Do you want to say hello quickly, guys?
Hi.
Come on, introduce yourselves one after each other.
I'm Evie Rains and I'm 10 years old and I go to Beechwood Park School in Marquee.
I'm Quinlan Ingle and I'm 10 years old and I go to school at Beechwood Park.
I'm Archie Dorset and I go to school at Fleetville Juniors.
Wonderful. Wow. So we're very pleased to say these guys are avid readers.
That's it.
And they're going to be telling us about their favourite books. And we're also going to be speaking to, well, these girls have an amazing favourite author. Who is it?
Stacey Beggs.
Yeah, I guess where she lives.
New Zealand.
Yeah. Basically the other side of the world, girls. You couldn't have found an author who was further away.
But Lydia, we've never had an interview on The Parents Show where the interviewee is in a different day. So for her, it's Friday. For us, it's Thursday.
Lucky
it's mind-boggling.
Lucky.
Friday morning. TGIF. Yeah.
So we've got our very first guest, though, is a very special pupil called Iris Parsons. And Iris is 8. Are you there, Iris?
Yes, hello.
Well, it's very nice to hear you live on the radio. Tell us where you live, Iris.
I live in Welford in Northamptonshire.
Lovely. And I've heard you love reading and that you have actually written a book review recently.
Yes, I have.
Well, Iris, would you care to tell us, first of all, who's your favourite author?
Ellen Montgomery.
Ellen Montgomery. Mm-hmm. And what's your favourite book?
I'm not sure. I have loads of favourite books.
You've loads. It's not a good way to be, having lots of favourite books. And what did you write the book review about? Which book?
Anne of Green Gables.
Oh, I love Anne of Green Gables. Yay. So off you go, Iris. Give us a little bit of your book review.
Anne of Green Gables by Ellen Montgomery. This book is an engaging Canadian story using fiction to show how a girl who just wants love and care can turn into a bright and intelligent 16-year-old lady. The first of 11 books in the series, it is a good book for Millie Ann, who get into minor misdemeanors themselves. Another recommendation is that you shouldn't try to read too early on in your life because of complex words. But once you have a familiarity with the words, the description makes it even better. Anne has a good scope for imagination and is so strong that sometimes her imagination takes over reality. For example, on Anne's trip through Prince Edward Island, she sees the Barry's fishing pond and renames it the Lake of Shining Waters because of its beauty. After this ride, she arrives at Avonlea on Prince Edward Island. She arrived at Green Gables, which was owned by strict Marilla Cuthbert and kind brother Matthew. Marilla wasn't happy to find that Anne was a girl, not a boy. After all, she did request a boy from the orphanage, not a girl. With so many entertaining mistakes in the heartwarming story, what's not to love?
Iris, excuse me, we have something to say to you. Ready, guys? Everybody's giving you 10 out of 10. If this was Strictly Come Book Review, you'd be getting 10 out of 10. What do you think, Evie?
I think 10.
I think 100.
Iris is 8 years old. I'd say that is a stellar
Wow.
I'm 10 and
review.
I couldn't do that. Incredible.
So, Iris, I want to go out and buy Anne of Green Gables. Evie, do you feel like reading it now?
Yes, I really want to read it now.
What about you, Quinlan?
Definitely.
So, Iris, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
And maybe you can become our regular book reviewer. And what do you think, Lydia?
That would be excellent. Iris, are you up for that?
maybe.
And can I ask you, is there anybody out there you want to say hello to?
Well, hello to my best friend Sophia, who wants to listen right now.
Great. And is anybody listening in from school? Tell us about your school.
Well, my school is... It's quite near to my home, actually. And it's really good.
And what's it called?
Pardon?
What's your school? What's the name of your school?
It's called Welford Tipton Selby and Dow School, which lots of us pronounce as Wetters.
Very nice. Wow. There must be reading lots of books in that school, because you're a very articulate and interesting young lady. So thank you so much for joining us. Have a lovely Christmas, Iris.
Thank you.
Take care.
Lovely to talk to you.
Bye.
Bye.
So there we go. There was Iris
setting the tone
from Wellingborough and setting the bar very high. I mean, we still have to come back to our book panel, our children's book panel, and we'll get lots of time chatting to you guys in just a short while. But what we want to do is have a little break and then come back in a few minutes with the author that you girls absolutely love.
And what's her name, girls?
Stacey Greggs.
And can I just ask, how many of her books have you read?
I've read The Fire Stallion, and Evie?
I've read quite a few, and I'm halfway through The Thunderbolt Pony right now, which I'm really enjoying.
We'll have to tell her not to spoil the ending for you when she comes on air, right? Because that'd be terrible.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Great stuff. And what is it that's so special about her books? I don't know, or I have to admit.
She combines lots of things that I love together, like adventure and horses. And actually, the girl in the Thunderbolt Pony is actually called Evie as well. And
oh, she's got to be cool then.
Yeah. And she sounds really, really... It sounds like she likes adventure, and she doesn't take that step too far where it becomes dangerous, but she does.
So she's a sensible equestrian rider. Is that what you're saying, Evie? Are you sensible rider?
Can I just tell you, while we were outside waiting to come in here, she told me that she was on a 17.2 stallion and fell off.
Yeah, Evie seems to have a great sense of adventure. Oh. I think Stacey Gregg needs to write about Quinlan and Evie's adventures.
There we go.
Oh,
you might just inspire the next book.
Oh my gosh, we would love a book about us. Oh my gosh.
And Quinlan, what do you love about her books?
I think she really brings everything to character. I have a very vivid vision in my head of what I'm reading, and it's almost as if the horse and the person is standing right behind me when I'm reading, so...
Lovely.
It sounds very beautiful.
Well, we'll take a little break and let's hope we get through to New Zealand in a minute.
Okay.
A very warm welcome back to The Parents Show on Radio Verulam 92.6 FM. And this show is all about books. We're coming at it from every angle. We've just had a fantastic book review from Iris in Wellingborough. We have our book panel ready to go for later on the show. But before we do, we have a really, really exciting guest. We have Stacey Greggs, who is on the line now, joining us from New Zealand. Hi, Stacey.
Hi, I was going to say good morning, but it's good evening over there.
Good morning. How does it feel to be in Friday?
Yes, I'm ahead of you. I can see the world before you can.
So, Stacey, just to introduce, we know you're a very, very well-known author in New Zealand and over here. You've written 22 books, and your stories have taken readers all over the world, from Arabia to Italy, Spain, Russia. And your latest novel, which I can see in front of me, because Evie here has brought it with her to the studio, is called The Thunderbolt. Is that right, Evie? Thunderbolt Pony. And that's set in New Zealand. So thank you so much for joining us this evening.
No trouble. I actually have another one out that's just come out in the UK because I'm published out of HarperCollins in London. So my newest one is number 23, and that is The Fire Stallion, and that's set in Iceland, and that was really fun to research.
The Fire Stallion. They look your biggest fans are here, Evie and Quinlan, and they look extremely excited by that fact. Say hi, girls.
Hi.
They're very excited.
I wish you could see their faces.
We'll have to put them on Facebook to show them.
Oh, my gosh.
So they're trying to calm them down. Would you girls like to kick off with your questions? Evie, here's your big chance to ask your idol a question.
What inspired you to start writing books?
Well, I think actually what inspired me to start writing was, I mean, I always loved writing when I was at school, but I never aspired particularly to be an author. I didn't think it was a proper job that you could have. So I became a working journalist when I grew up, and I was a fashion journalist for a long time. So I have always written professionally. But I think the reason I really wanted to do the Pony Club Secret series, which was my first series of books, I had been a pony mad kid and had gone to Pony Club and had always wanted to be, you know, an Olympic champion. I'd wanted to be like Sir Mark Todd or Lucinda Pryor Palmer, who then became Lucinda Green, she'd won the badminton horse trial 6 times, and she always looked so fabulous out there, and she always wore this lemon yellow jumper, and she was super stylish, and she went clear over these amazing cross-country fences, and I just wanted to be these riders. And I got to a certain stage where I realised I was never going to be that good. I wasn't brave enough. I didn't have the horsepower. I didn't have horsey parents. And so kind of that little dream, I guess, morphed into the books instead. Because when you write fiction, you become your characters. So suddenly, I was able to go to the badminton horse trials as a rider. I was just doing it fictionally instead of in real life. So I think if I'd been a better horse rider, I never would have written the books.
Yeah, you're just using all of that experience as inspiration.
Yeah, totally. And I mean, they were my idols. I think those people are like superheroes to me. They're just so amazing.
Okay, Quinlan has a question. She's looking extremely excited to speak to you. Off you go.
Hi, Quinlan.
Have you ever fallen off a horse?
Oh my God, so many times. and I think, you know, the rule when I was growing up was you have to fall off 7 times to be a rider. And I think I exceeded that limit very quickly. falling is part of riding, I think. And, you know, and horse riding is an incredibly brave athletic sport. And I think what people underestimate with my books, they're like, you know, they're like, oh, they're pony stories. Well, of course, they're big epic adventures where young women take control of their lives and do incredible things and are incredibly brave and, you know, take on the world. Because to me, there's nothing braver than getting on the back of a 600-kilo animal and making it sort of do your bidding through nothing other than being, you know, bonded to it.
And Evie was saying before we came on air that why you loved the books was because of the sense of adventure. Tell us, Evie, why you loved the books.
The sense of adventure and horses and just the sense of freedom all combined is just basically me.
Oh, that's lovely. And absolutely, that's what I love about writing them. And I think horses are freedom, you know. You can have big adventures on a horse. You can't really have big adventures with a chicken. Or they're one of those animals that, you know, naturally lend themselves to you just being the two of you out there going head-to-head with the world. And that's very much kind of how I tell my stories. And, of course, my more recent books are very much based on true life stories, and they'll often be dual narratives with historical elements. So I often revisit periods of time like Spain in the time of Queen Isabella, or Russia in the time of the Empress Catherine the Great. And I like to think that it's always a sort of female retelling of those historical periods, because if you look at history, it was never written by a 12-year-old girl. It was always written by some man. So if you go back and look at it through the eyes of my heroines, they see things entirely differently, and their courage and their stories finally get told.
Evie, you love the fact some of the stories are set in Arabia, don't you?
Yeah, I really enjoyed reading The Princess and the Foal about Princess Haya and her pony, and I really enjoyed all the adventures she had and how she got her brother stuck in a dumbwaiter thing. That was quite fun. That
she got her brother stuck in a what? In a dumbwaiter?
I think so. It was something for the kitchen plates. That really made me
laugh.
That
is exactly what happened. I mean, I was really lucky that I got to meet Princess Haya. I got to travel to Jordan and, you know, ride Arabian horses through the desert and go to the royal palace where she grew up. And everything you read in The Princess and the Foal is absolutely the true story of the princess herself.
Wow.
And she's the only person I've ever met that is bigger than a fictional character, and I didn't need to write any fiction. Her story, her true story, was enough. So it was an amazing book to
work
on. Lovely.
Okay, Quinlan. Lucky. Quinlan has lots of questions. Off you go, Quinlan.
Oh, what inspired you to start writing books?
To start writing books, I was a fashion journalist, and I had my own fashion website, and I was working for magazines, and I had a baby daughter, and I found myself at home thinking, oh, it's really hard to get into the office and juggle things. Maybe I'll take a few months off and try and write a book instead.
Lovely.
So and that was what I did, and that was the first Pony Club Secret.
Evie, off you go. Your question.
What was your best-selling book that you've written? What is your best-selling book?
Probably The Princess and the Foal. That has gone into an amazing number of territories. It's available in the States. It's available in Arabic, in traditional Arabic, and I did a book tour in Beirut with that book, which was so much fun. So it's probably still my most iconic book, and it's really special to me. I just loved writing it.
Stacey, have any of them been made into movies?
I can't say anything, but it's very close to a TV series potentially coming together for the series.
These girls are ecstatic.
Oh my gosh.
I think you've got two extra actresses here, if it's ever filmed in England.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, wow. Quinlan, come on, more questions.
What was the name of the first horse you rode?
The first horse I owned was my... I begged my parents for years for a pony, and I finally got one. And her name was Bonnie, and she had a white heart on her forehead, so her show name was Queen of Hearts. And she was very long-suffering because my family knew nothing about horses, so we did all sorts of idiotic things until finally I went to Pony Club and learnt the ropes and learnt how to manage her properly.
Stacey, we have to ask you, these girls are desperate for a horse, and I'm sure their parents are listening, so have you got any tips on what they could do to persuade their parents?
Please, Mum, please, Dad!
I was desperate too, and I did. I think nagging does work. I think doing chores around the house does work. But also, what I found was when my own daughter was keen on starting riding, and you know, it's a big commitment owning a horse. But I did spend the first 2 years just taking her to weekly lessons at a riding school, just so she could really see what was involved with horses and upskill a bit, and also, you know, so that she could see the commitment that's required. It's not like, you know, playing tennis or going skiing where you can just fling everything in the closet at the end of
Definitely.
The day and go, well, I'll do that again.
Big commitment, big commitment. Evie, off you go. Another question, please.
I can see why parents are edgy about it.
Off you go, Evie.
Which of the books that you have written, which of those books is your personal favourite, and what do you enjoy about it?
Well, The Thunderbolt Pony, which is the one that you're reading at the moment, is definitely a favourite. It's quite a different story for me. It's not a dual narrative. It's just the story of a girl called Evie, who is travelling overland during the earthquakes in New Zealand that happened near Kaikoura, and she's trying to get her animals to safety, and she's suffering from OCD, which is obsessive compulsive disorder. So she's trying to combat her OCD and make this journey at the same time. And to me, it was like an epic struggle for her, and there's so much going on in it. So I really loved that book. And then the new one, The Fire Stallion, as well, which is set in Iceland. And I got to go to Iceland and ride Icelandic horses, which they're so pure-blooded. They're the same horses the Vikings originally rode 1,000 years ago, and they're incredible. And there are Vikings in that book, so I got to write sword fights. And, you know, it was a really fun story.
Lovely. Evie wants to come in again.
I've just got up to where she's just lost Moxie in the river. And where she... I've got a question about this book, quickly.
Yeah, about the Thunderbolt Pony. Off you go.
What I'm a bit confused between... I don't know if it's because I haven't got to the end of the book, but I'm confused between when she met that bull. Was it a bull or was it a minotaur?
Well, I think it's really interesting. There's a real town in the South Island of New Zealand called Parnassus, and of course, Mount Parnassus in Greece was the ancient Greeks believed it was the home of the gods. And there are lots of Greek mythology sort of names in the area around Kaikoura and around Parnassus. So, and I'm really interested in Greek mythology. So I think Evie's, with her OCD, she's got a degree of, she she's having trouble with reality sometimes, so she can't decide whether she's responsible for these earthquakes because she thinks her OCD is making it happen, or whether the Greek gods are responsible, or whether it's just nature. So you'll find a lot of Greek mythology woven through the story as Evie tries to kind of figure out in her mind what's really going on. So yes, is it a bull or is it a minotaur? Is Evie responsible, or are the earthquakes nothing to do with her? And she has a therapist, a psychologist called Willard Fox, and he is trying to help her understand. And so through a series of flashbacks, we're going to see Evie's story and see how she figures it all out.
Goodness me, Lydia and I are going to have to read it now. It sounds brilliant. Quinlan, off you come in with another question.
Did you ever compete? When did you do your first competition?
Yes, I did compete, and I did eventing when I was a kid, and these days my daughter has a horse called Cam, who we also call Sharky because he tends to attack us in the paddock.
Oh.
He likes to bite, but, you know, he's adorable, we don't mind. And he's a fantastic dressage horse, so I do a bit of dressage on him because my daughter is so busy these days. She's 18 now, and she is working on a TV series called Power Rangers, so she's very busy. So I ride her horse a lot, which is terrific because he's super fun. So, yes, I do still compete, and I used to compete when I was a kid, but not like Lucinda Pryor Palmer, not badminton horse trials level.
Quinlan, have you got another question?
Who was your role model when you were younger, or even now, who were you inspired by?
Well, I definitely was inspired, as well as being inspired by horse riders, who I, you know, have already talked about. I was definitely inspired by writers too. I mean, I really loved some classic books like Charlotte's Web and Watership Down, Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy and Adrian Mole. I mean, they were all great fun reads, and I love a novel that transports you so that you feel like you're part of that world instead of part of your own. So I've always been inspired by writers, and they've always been my role models.
Lovely. Well, we're going to have a big, big chat on the show this evening about all the books that children love. And it's amazing. It's lovely to hear children talk about books that they love, isn't it? They're so engrossed in them, and they're so interested in the story and the language, and they find so many, you know, there so many things are resonating in your books with these girls here, who are arguably your biggest fans. Quinlan, have you got another question?
No.
No, you've run out of questions. Okay. Evie, any more? Yep.
I've got two more.
Off you go.
I know The Princess and the Fool is true, but all your other books, fiction or non-fiction, or are they a mix of both?
Oh, that's a good question.
That is a really good question. All my books I've done since The Princess and the Fool have absolutely been based on true stories. The one that was after that was a book called The Island of Lost Horses. It's about a very rare breed called the Barco Bard.
Evie loves that book.
Oh, cool. Well, that horse, it, you know, lives on a... The herd lives on a tropical island in the Caribbean, and it's just bizarre. How did these wild horses end up on this island? And they've done DNA tests on them, and they've tested their blood, and it dates back 500 years to purebred Spanish horses from ancient times. So how did these horses end up on the island? And, you know, obviously, the Island of Lost Horses has kind of explores that mystery and comes up with a theory that's the most plausible way that they could have got there. And then, of course, there's a modern-day story about a girl that's on the island now, and a storm is coming in, and she's trying to keep the horses safe because the breed is dwindling. So, yes, always true stories in the most recent book.
Amazing.
The Diamond Horse is based on the Orlov Trotter, which is a rare breed in Russia in the time of Catherine the Great. So, yeah, it's for me, it's enormous fun to research.
Okay, Evie, one last question.
I've got one last question, and it's, do you think you will ever write a sequel to any of your other books that you've written in the past?
Oh, that's such a good question. I've often thought I would like to have done the next chapter of The Princess and the Fool in a way, because, of course, Princess Haya does go on to be an Olympic show jumper.
Yeah.
And her story kind of doesn't end where the book ends. And then also my two series, Pony Club Secrets and Pony Club Rivals, always had connections to each other, and I always thought it would be fun to write one more book in the Rivals series that linked them together once and for all. So, yes, maybe is the answer.
So maybe these girls, as a little exercise for their school, could write the next chapter.
After reading The Princess and the Foal, I went on to the internet and onto the computer and I started researching about Princess Aya.
Oh, that's very nice. Well, listen, well done for inspiring British children, and in addition to children all over the world, Stacey.
Thank you so much for talking to me today.
Lovely. And can you just remind us of your website for people listening?
Of course. It's www.stacygregg.co.uk. And Stacey doesn't have an E in it.
It doesn't have an E. Lovely, Stacey Gregg.
Doesn't have an E.
Evie and Quinlan, what would you like to say to Stacey?
We've got a book request if you're not planning any other books.
Yeah, so...
What is it?
We were wondering if the book could be about Quinlan and Evie.
The Adventures of Quinlan and Evie.
About two best friends who both adore horses, and maybe they get caught up in troubles and
adventures.
And they go on the radio and...
It sounds to me like I'd be stealing your story and you should write it yourself.
Yeah.
I think that's how it starts. Come up with your own world. That's how I always do my fiction, is just take real life, just make it a bit exaggerated and bigger. So I suggest you write your own book.
Thank you, Stacey. Big round of applause for Stacey, girls.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Bye, Stacey. Have a lovely Christmas.
Thank you. Merry Christmas.
Bye.
Wow. Girls, how are you feeling?
Wow, that was incredible.
I'm so...
That was awesome.
Wow.
Still here.
So yeah, what a great experience to get to speak to her, and she's a lovely, very normal person,
so nice.
Right?
She's amazing.
But she's not going to write a book about you girls. You're going to have to do it yourself.
We're going to have to do it ourselves.
Quinlan might be a horse.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So
Thank you. That was
brilliant. So let's now we have our children book review panel in front of us. Now we have Archie, Quinlan, and Evie. Now, guys, we want to talk to you more generally about books. Or do you girls read books that aren't about horses?
I read books about horses all the time. It's non-stop.
But do you read any books that are not about horses?
I do. I read a book called Warrior Cats by Erin Hunter, and I find them really interesting, how they have to survive in the wild. And there's four clans: Thunder Clan, Shadow Clan, River Clan, and Wind Clan. And they're amazing adventure stories.
Wow, they sound fantastic. I haven't heard of them. We should be scribbling. Kathy, get your pen out. We should be writing notes. These are presents we're going to be getting. So we're just picking your brain so that we can buy presents for lots of people. So would you say that's your favourite book, Quinlan?
No, I like most of the stories from Stacey Gregg, but that's one of my favourites.
Top up there. Right, we better give the boys a chance to talk.
Boy.
He's the only one.
Yes, so in the studio we have Archie Dorset. Now, Archie, I've heard you're from Fleetville and that you're absolutely crazy about reading. So tell us, what are you reading at the moment, Archie?
Stupidly, I have about 28 books at the moment. I'm exaggerating.
But, slightly exaggerating.
Slightly. I think one of them is Timmy Failure.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So you've got 28 that you're kind of really enjoying. What would you say is your all-time favourite book?
Oh, God.
Or one that you're enjoying at the moment. What one are you holding?
Moon Boy.
Who's that by?
Chris O'Dowd and Nick V. Murphy.
Uh-huh. It's got a very funny cover. Is it a funny book?
It's extremely funny. Yeah.
Is it? And what's it about, Archie?
It's about a boy who's a bit of an idiot, and he's got an imaginary friend who he can physically see.
Uh-huh.
And he met like a snarky school in a school trip, and he needs to beat them in an invention convention.
Uh-huh.
So his imaginary friend Sean goes into the imaginary world to get the notion potion, but his pet drinks it and fills it with milk, and he doesn't know it, and he ends up making some sort of tub grub. And it was quite funny because three boys being dragged by a motorbike in a bath filled with cereal and
great.
Being dragged by hares and hounds.
Sounds like Kevin.
Archie, I'm confused. Why is he called Moon Boy, though? Is that something to do with the book? Because it's Moon with an E, isn't it?
He's called Martin Moon.
Ah, okay. So that's his kind of, yeah. It's written by, on the back of it, I can see two guys, the authors, and one of them is a comedian, isn't he?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know much about comedians, though.
And Archie, do you like funny books or do you like scary books? What type of books do you like?
More funny books.
Do you like funny ones? Brilliant. Yeah. I like funny ones as well. It's nice to laugh out loud, isn't it, when you're reading? Girls, do you like funny books?
Yes.
Can you think of a funny book?
I like joke books.
Joke books.
I also I love this book called The Will's Riding Academy, I think, yeah. And it's about funny people riding on horses, and it's about funny sort of how to ride with horses, but it's also really funny,
yeah.
And how they fall off and get back on, and how to wash a pony and stuff like that.
I really enjoy joke books, and at school me and Quinlan muck about quite a bit.
I don't believe
that. Yeah, we do.
Obviously in recess, in break time, not during class time.
Oh no, definitely not. We're angels.
Yeah.
We're so good.
Archie, do you think they look like angels?
Pretty much the opposite.
He's a devil.
So they look like horses, actually.
So guys,
thank you.
Guys, when I was your age, I used to read comics. I used to read Susie comic. I don't know if that was around with you, Lydia, but Susie comic was brilliant. And I used to really enjoy reading magazines. Do you read any magazines or comics?
I read Horse Magazine.
I guess so. Yeah.
One of my favourite magazines is a horse magazine called Pony. And then there's another one called Horse Club. But same. I also read, like, general stuff, like The Week.
The Week is so good. Archie, do you know The Week?
I know it, but...
I've no clue.
our teacher is always, like, bringing in her one short copy of The Week.
Well, you can read that and have...
It's just constant.
Yeah, it's really good, isn't it? Because it teaches you all the different things that are going on in the world.
And I get a science magazine every... month.
Lovely.
I think. And
what's it called, Archie?
Whiz Pop Bang.
Oh, that's so good. Do you girls know Whiz Pop Bang?
No.
I've no clue. Again.
Amazing. I don't know many magazines
that aren't about horses.
Oh, that's disappointing.
And Archie, what do you like about that magazine?
Generally, I skip to the top 10 interesting things. They made a Christmas one about Christmas instruments and electrics.
Mm-hmm.
And I just skipped to the last bit where there were, like, carrot kazoos and things.
So it sounds like really fun. Is it a big magazine?
Not hugely. It's maximum 30 pages.
Yeah, and that comes in the post, so that's quite exciting, isn't
it?
Yeah. And what have you guys asked for Christmas? For any books? Have you got any books on your list that you would like?
I've asked for some more of Stacey's and...
What a surprise.
I want a horse.
Yeah.
And some books from Stacey and some other pony books in general. Like maybe some of Pippa Funnels.
She's great as well,
good
isn't
as well.
She? And Archie, what have you asked for?
I haven't
for Christmas?
Asked for anything.
Not
for
yet. You've got 28 books to get through. You don't need any more books.
Oh, that's exaggerating.
Or what about a book voucher? Those are very good, aren't they?
Mm. I think we get them every December, I think.
Book vouchers. Because your birthday coming up soon, isn't it?
Yes.
I have a birthday in December, which is, so
December's clearly the best month.
Thank you, Archie. I wasn't going to say that, but you did say it. So
it's got Christmas, aka and the other best day of the year, my birthday.
That's right. It's on the national calendar. I saw it in the shop today. It said Archie's birthday.
Yeah, obviously you can see it, but sometimes they write it in invisible ink. You just can't tell.
You just need a spy pen to undo it. So guys, tell us, you all come from different schools, Beechwood and Fleetville. Are you looking forward to the end of term?
Yes.
I can't wait.
Holiday!
Yeah. Woohoo! Yeah, so it'll be good fun being off school. And it's nice weather, isn't it? It's not too cold. So you can plenty of horse riding, plenty of reading books.
Yeah.
Plenty of doing everything.
Archie, do you want to say hello to anybody?
Can I give a shout out to my friend Dylan Woods?
Everybody have to say hello, Dylan Woods.
Hello, Dylan Woods. That was Evie, by the way.
Was I not?
Yeah, you were too loud.
Do you want to say hello to anybody without shouting?
I've got 28 horses.
I've got I've got 3 people or 4.
Okay.
First of all, I've got Miss Dearden from school. She's always been there for me, and she's really supportive. And I've got Gracie and Quinlan, and they're both always there for me as well, and they're both really fun, and they're just...
Yeah, we can tell Quinlan's fun.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Quinlan, who would you like to say hello to?
I would like to say hello to my family and just thank them for supporting me and my aunt. She's been so supportive in everything and horse riding. And I also want to give 2 more shout-outs to my friend Grace and Evie, and I want to give another shout out to all the wild horses in the world.
Yeah, and Evie, you've got 1 more shout out. Come on.
All my family, so all my aunties, uncles, cousins, and even all my horses.
Like, that you know.
They could be my family.
All the horses. Oh, and my dog.
Archie, one last shout out. Anyone important that you've left off that list?
My Nana.
Yay! Great. Nana will be listening and hopefully has written down all these lovely books.
She's
that
in
we've
Ireland.
Oh, nice.
She doesn't have our radio station. She's in Ireland.
Yeah. You can guess what? You can get our radio station anywhere in the world.
Yeah.
On the internet.
I did not know that.
Once upon a time, we did a radio show and we had people listening in Senegal. Do you know where that is?
Across the
Honey as well.
Africa.
Yeah, very good, very good. So what we're going to do a little bit later on the show is we're going to speak to an amazing lady called Claire Healy. Have you ever heard of her? She runs Raring to Go. Do you know that little magazine? You've seen it
around?
I've seen it, I've never read it. It's all about things to do in the area. And Claire's an expert on where you can go and see Santa's Grotto. So she knows all the places and all the things to do in West Hertfordshire.
I have a few questions for her.
Yeah.
So do we.
So she's going to come up she's actually going to come into the studio in a few minutes. Oh, I can see her. There
oh my God.
So we're going to have a little break and we'll come back with Claire Healy. Stay tuned. And welcome back. It's the Parents Show. And, well, we're delighted to welcome back Claire Healy to the Parents Show. She was often coming in recently telling us all about what's going on in the area. And it's a very, very important time of year, Claire. So we're very glad you've dropped in.
Do you know why it is a very important time of year?
Because it's my birthday as well in December.
What? So you, me and Archie.
We're going to get together. Yeah.
We're going to go and paint the town.
So what's happening in Raring to Go World?
Oh, Raring to Go World. Well, listen, as you say, it's December. So really, I think that's a kind of festive-y kind of feel to it. And there's loads of things going on. There are loads of grottos. Santa is on his way, obviously. There's lots of places where you can be spending lots and lots of money. So I thought I would run through with you a few ideas that aren't going to cost all that much money. There's a few things locally that are actually happening, which you can take the kids to, go as a family, just enjoy. And one of those, the first ones is the St. Albans Advent Trail. I don't know if you've seen this. This is something that's happening every day. One business a day opens, they do a reveal of their Advent window. So it's a really big, brash, lovely Christmassy window. Started on December the 1st and it's going to culminate in a virtual unveiling from the St. Albans Theatre on Christmas. St. Albans Cathedral on Christmas Day.
Sounds amazing.
So, yeah, that would be fab, I think. Each window is revealed at 1 o'clock on their allocated day. You can go on the St. Albans Bid website to have a look at which one it's going to be for each day. And you can vote online for your favourite. And there are lots of interaction with that one. So that's the Advent Trail. That's all the businesses in and around St. Albans. I think
Radio Verulam is actually covering that as well.
So I think it probably is.
I think if you go to the Radio Verulam Facebook page, if you can't make it to the the window of the day,
yeah,
they'll flag it up to you. You'll get to see from
and
your
you
sofa.
Can see. Yeah. And you could always go and see them at a later date as
exactly.
well, which is great.
It's a lovely idea.
Yeah, it is. It's a fun idea, and it gets lots of people to different parts of the city. And, of course, we've got the Christmas market down at the Vintry Gardens, which is free to have a wander around. I don't know if you've wandered around there yet. It's beautiful. It smells lovely. There's loads of places to eat. Santa's down there. There's lots of things to, lots of gifty ideas, things to do. It's really, really nice. It's run by Meraki, who are running the festival down on the field that's starting next week as well.
So that's two different things. There's a Christmas market in the Vintry, like it always is, and then there's another festival down beside Westminster Lodge, is
yes.
that it?
Yes. So the festival down by Westminster Lodge will be the skating rink, the dodgems, all the fun stuff.
Is that the Meraki one?
That's the Meraki one, yes.
How do you get sort of tickets to that? Can you just buy them at the door, do you think?
I think you can buy them online. Ideally buy them online so that you get the time of your choice. But you can buy, I believe, on the door. But obviously at the weekend I think it's going to be a bit busier, so I would recommend buying them beforehand. But if you go on the Meraki website, you can see them all on there. So
fantastic.
So that's looking really good.
I think we're going to overtake Bath for the Christmas market extravaganza.
I hope so. You should go down there just to see all the little wooden carved animals. So if you know anyone who loves animals, it's absolutely fab. There's just everything for anybody who's an animal lover, whether birds or lizards, whatever it is. There's some fab carvings down there. So, yeah. Yeah, it's good. Take a wander down there. So that's free to enter. And Santa's there. Santa obviously is a chargeable thing, but it's not extortionate by any means. The other thing to look out for, if you haven't seen him already, Santa's coming on his sleigh. He's coming round to all the houses. So if you go onto our website, we've got a link which shows you every day where he's going to be. It's about 6:30. He tends to start off a bit earlier at the weekends, and he's flying round on his sleigh. And it's fantastic. He goes past all the houses. You can go out, you can give him mince pies, you can give him your letters, he'll send them
off. Last year I was shouting at him, I was like, what is that racket outside? You know, I've just put the kids to bed, and then suddenly all the kids were out the window and they'd seen him.
Yeah. He tends to come just as the kids have gone to bed.
Yeah. That's, you've just cracked open the wine and suddenly there's somebody at the door.
And there's some music outside and you just don't want them. But anyway, it's fun and it's part of the magic of Christmas, isn't it? It's part of that special December. Remember that,
special
Kathy?
December. Yes,
special December. Just before your birthday, yeah. Now, there are also loads of carol-y type of things for those that are interested at the cathedral. Again, they run a special one for families that's called Carols on the Hour that they do from 11 a.m. on the 15th of December. And it runs literally, it's 30 minutes, so you can have a few songs and then you can go off and continue your shopping. It's especially for families. It's short, in and out, and it runs till 4 o'clock on the 15th from 11 till 4, and that is free to attend. You can just turn up, you don't have to book at all. They're very popular though, so probably get there early just to make sure.
It sounds lovely. It's like half an hour. It's such a nice time, isn't it? Because we're all kind of school played out by this point.
Completely,
seriously.
Yes.
Half an hour, you know, of listening to carols is okay.
Well, that's quite, it's quite nice, isn't it? I think it's enough, and I think it's enough for the children as well, you know.
Totally
too much otherwise. And there's nothing else. It's just nice bit of singing. So if you fancy doing something out in the open air, I don't know if you've heard this, that the National Trust do 50 things to do before you're 11 and three quarters. They do it at the Dunstable Downs. You can basically give you suggestions of loads of things that you can do. It's all free. It's all just using your imagination. I was interested listening on the way in to the children talking about books and imagination and, you know, things like that. And I thought, well, half of this free stuff is all about using your imagination. So that 50 things thing is great. You can do it in your garden, in the park, wherever you want to. It's a great way to get outside, do a bit of a treasure hunt, find these items, however you work it. It's a bit of fun, really.
Sounds great.
Going back inside, the museums, again, they run all sorts of free things. One of my favourites is Stockwood Discovery Centre, because they have loads of stuff, particularly for the boys. They've got the huge car or vehicle exhibition, which I think is fantastic. It's free to enter. They just ask for donations, which is really brilliant. And there's loads to do. It's a big play area, nice cafe, lots and lots to see in there. So you could spend a good afternoon there. And of course, we've got the museum and gallery now, which has got fun and games activities throughout December. They're reliving all the board games, so all of that's on show for people to interact with, for families particularly. Where are we? Right, Christopher Place on Saturdays in December. They're doing lots of activities, so I think the next one they've got is their giant snow globe on Saturday, so you can go and stand inside the giant snow globe.
But it looks beautiful already, doesn't it? We were just walking past, and it's a little oasis of Christmas, isn't it? And it's they've done so much that you really feel like you're stepping into another world. It's a bit Narnia-esque, isn't it?
It is a bit, actually, that little bit that's just snow. It's just like going to the North Pole, isn't it? Or the South Pole, wherever you need to go. But yeah, it looks fab in there. So they've got curling and skittles. They've got a reindeer visit. They've got all sorts of things. So look out for them on Saturdays. Bit of a break from shopping. There are, oh my goodness, there's a paws walk. If you're a pet person, there is a Santa's paws walk. It's this Sunday at Ashridge Estate. It's £1 per dog, so there is a small charge. I don't know what happens if you don't turn up without a dog. I suppose it's free. But basically, it's from 11 till 12, and it's a festive walk with prizes for the best Christmas-themed dog, I presume. So that will be interesting. So you don't have to book. You can just turn up for that with a hat and a bauble, apparently. Oh my goodness, there's so many. Christmas Trail at Ashridge as well.
Oh, lovely.
That's another one. Special Christmas gift for every little helper from the 1st of December. No booking needed again. You can start at the visitor centre. Again, there's a small charge, £3 for the trail, and then you follow it through the woods, and then you collect your own special gift at the end.
I'd say it's lovely and muddy down there now.
I think it would be very wise to wear wellies.
Waders, forget the wellies, Claire.
I think you're probably very right.
I can just imagine the rain we've had in the last week. I mean, I love Ashridge and I don't care if it's wet. It's kind of part of it. But my goodness, it'll be Pondville, won't it?
Prepare to put stuff in the washing machine afterwards. But if you've got a dog, then you're just used to that anyway. And you you don't have to have a dog for this one. You're all right. Go with that one. So it'll be fine.
I'll bring two other things on leads.
Probably a good idea to have them on leads, yes. So if you don't want the mud, then you should go to the cathedral. They do a trail themselves around the cathedral, and you can learn all about what goes on at the cathedral. Again, there's a £1 charge, and it's suitable for children aged 3 to 7. And basically, it takes you around the cathedral, showing you the history, what's been going on, what it's all about.
Because it's so easy to go in and out of the cathedral all the time and actually not pay attention to the detail of it, because there are so many beautiful bits to that cathedral. I actually went with the school trip last year and I was mortified because I knew nothing, but I learned so much like in an afternoon with these kids. Like it's so rich in history, like even the stained glass windows tell so many stories. It's brilliant.
Scary, isn't it, that we live in this city and we go there regularly. And the guided tours as well are really good to get to know what's above your eye level that you don't normally see, and you suddenly look up and realize there's something up there that you've never known, but there's a really big historical influence there. Fascinating, really. So you could also go to the Natural History Museum in Tring. They've got hundreds of natural specimens, and they're basically over the holidays, they're giving you a feel of how scientists work by having a go yourself, apparently. They've got science educators on hand. So if you've got somebody interested in the sort of science with animals and history and things like that, that might be a fun activity, a fun afternoon out. It's a free drop-in, so no booking required on that one as well. So there is plenty, plenty of things going on. We've got even more on our website, rareandtogo.co.uk, to give you some ideas. So if you're looking for anything else, really, there's lots on offer there.
So Claire, would you recommend, what's the best way to scroll through the events that you've been talking about? Your Facebook page or the website?
I would go onto our website, rareandtogo.co.uk/St Albans, and then on there we've got some big banners. So I've got a big banner that says what's on for free, which will go through some of this stuff that's on today, that I've talked about today, and then where all the Santa's grottos are. There are, I think there's about 25 within about 10-mile radius. There's
really?
Loads, there's loads. So
you can go to a Santa every day from now till Christmas, basically.
If you wanted to, yes,
yeah,
you could.
Great. Well, that's my time taken care of now.
Yes, and your budget, I'd say. So, and there's also a link to where the sleigh is going to be as well. So I think it's quite clear. If you go onto our website, you'll see all of that quite clearly labelled. So I'll share some of those on the website later on the Radio Verulam one.
That'd be great. I've shared your Facebook page, but I'll just pop up the website. And
fabulous.
Just, it'll be quite intuitive, will it, for parents just to see through. Can you search through your website for topics like Santa or fun?
Yes, you can look at all of that, and everything is linked through to the website, so you can double check for information. So if you want to check on what time the Santa's grottos are open, you can just click on the link, and it'll take you through.
And just looking at your website now, it says sign up to get our newsletter, so parents don't have to wait for it to come into school. Like, if you want it, you can just subscribe. Does it get emailed to you?
If you subscribe, on the first of every month, you will receive a newsletter which will give you an insight into what's going on. It'll give you details of all the vouchers, the competitions that we're running, all the events and activities that are going on, everything really that's going to be relevant, anything new that's going to be happening that month. So it's quite a good way to get a bit more in between when the magazine comes out, because obviously when February comes along, we're waiting for the next one, the spring one, to come along. If you know about the vouchers that are coming up in the spring on the 1st of February, you get them in your inbox. So
brilliant.
Yeah.
That's great, because I know parents do wait for it to come, and then it's sitting on, you know, on the kitchen worktop, and people are leafing through it all the time as a reference, you know. But
yes,
that's great, get electronically as well.
Tell you a little something that I got reminded of today.
Yes.
When Raring to Go was first invented, shall we say, it was invented as an A5. It was created as an A5 so that it could be easily kept in a drawer, in a handbag, on a tabletop without it taking up too much space. And that's why it's a little bit smaller than some of the other magazines that come through, because we felt it was a bit easier to handle,
yeah,
and to carry with you.
And doesn't disintegrate.
And it doesn't.
Yes, so the other ones quite often do. You know, yes, they kind of get
yes,
wrecked.
It's quality paper.
Yes,
I think that's the difference.
Absolutely. Well, listen, very Merry Christmas to you, Claire.
Thank
Thanks
you,
a million
you.
For coming in, and talk to you again in the new year.
Definitely.
Brilliant.
Thank you.
Thanks very much for listening, and we'll be here again next week for the last show in 2018.
The Parents Show is sponsored by Neave Solicitors.
Neave Solicitors are proud to sponsor the Parents Show. The friendly team at Neave's includes specialists who can guide you through all the legal ups and downs of family life. Visit neavesolicitors.co.uk. Neave Solicitors, your complete legal solution.